up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 486, and with me across the screen and across half of the United States is my trusty co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. 486. Yeah, you were just mentioned like the computer.
Do you remember getting a 486 back in the day?
No. I think our first like home computer. Well, actually, you know what? Maybe we did have a 486 back then. I don't remember what it was. I could probably figure it out, but I didn't really care about computers like on our very first one about like hardware. Like I used it and I liked using it, but I didn't like, you know, it was before it didn't have a graphics card in it or anything. This was probably like 93, probably.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember your first computer? Like, were you just pumped for the games, or were you like,
The first family computer or the first one?
Yeah, like the first family computer.
Again, like the games weren't like the games that I knew of to play. Like, I didn't know anything about like BBSs where you could like play like MUDs and online dungeons and stuff. So I played like solitaire.
Oregon Pinball. Trail. Oregon Trail.
I take that back. You're right. I not at home because we didn't have it. I had like Oregon Trail like 2 or something that was like the updated version of it because at the time I lived in the Minneapolis suburbs and Mech was headquartered close to us. Like Mech, the company that makes made Oregon Trail and like Odell Down Under, the fishing game, you know. And I went to like a demo thing of theirs where they're like kind of like beta testing with the public, and I got some games from them.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I played like Ski Free and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, Ski Free was fun.
Yeah, like at home, I played a ton of like Microsoft Pinball. Yeah, I don't know if you ever played that. There's like a
everybody played Microsoft Pinball. Like, that's when like you actually did get some like decent games with Windows because you had I liked Ski Free, and Pinball was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, it was a blast.
I thought pinball was a lot of fun. Yeah. But anyways, guys, we have a lot to talk about this week on the podcast. This week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at ADATA. So they want to tell you about something that we're also going to talk about in the podcast because we reviewed it. So let's just roll the clip. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by ADATA's SD820 External SSD. It's feather light and tough with military grade shock resistance. It's going to have speeds of up to 2000 megabytes a second. And you can get it in capacities up to 4 terabytes. It's also IP68 dust and waterproof. So if you want to learn more, go ahead and visit thinkcomputers.org/SD820. Alrighty, well, we are going to be talking about the ADATA SD820. Also, this week, we have a bunch to talk about as far as RTX 60 leaks. So we're going to be talking about what's coming up for RTX 60 series. We have Apple canceled the Mac Pro, the most expensive desktop computer you could buy, has been discontinued. What else are we talking about this week? We have DLSS 4.5 is finally available for the public, so you can play with it, and we'll talk about some stuff that you can do with that. Core Ultra 9 290K canceled, which is kind of crazy. AMD also came out with a Ryzen 9 9950X3D2. RAM prices may be stabilizing, which I think is going to be a good thing. And we have some other products to talk about here as well.
But that better not be like a April Fool's headline there with RAM prices stabilizing.
No,
today's April 1st, you know, April Fool's jokes. All right.
Yeah, there is some, you know, but no, I don't. I didn't see all the April Fools. I saw some of them.
I saw a few, but I think people are just tired of it.
Yeah,
at least I am. I hate it.
Yeah, and like now that I think about it, like I don't think anything we published this week or is a April Fool's joke. I don't think. I don't believe so. But in any case, because I wasn't even thinking about it when I did the news today, so I don't think anything. But in any case, we have a bunch to talk about. And if you do want to go ahead and follow along, we do have our full show notes page, which is right here. That has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And as we talk about it, you can go ahead and click through with us, or if you hear something in the podcast and you want to reference it later, all the links are going to be right here. So let's jump into that A-Data drive, which I have right here. It's not that big. Let me get it over my eyeball so we focus. But this is the A-Data SD820. It's very small. It's a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 drive. It's IP68 rated, which means you can actually submerge it in water. Dust resistance there as well. And it's very light. It's like super, super light. And it's a good little portable SSD. Great speeds on this as well. So it's right up to the spec of USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. And there's really not much to it. I think the big difference with this drive, I actually kind of like that they gave me the long, like this cable is a little bit longer than the normal type C cable that comes with a portable SSD. That was nice, especially considering, like, I know a lot of people use portable SSDs on their laptops, so the short cable is great. But a lot of the times it like gets in the way of like your mouse. So like with the little bit longer cable, you can move it out of the way. Or if you are using this on a desktop, the longer cable is definitely appreciated. So I really like that. And then again, it's a portable SSD, so there's really not much to it. We have the blue version, which has this blue accent. There's also another version, which is gray, which all the these blue pieces will be a gray. And those blue pieces are sort of like rubberized. So again, this is military grade drop tested as well. So you can kind of throw this thing around and nothing is really going to happen to it, which is really good. Single type C connection right on the end, and it is behind the door. So in order for the IP68 water and dust protection to work, you have to have the door closed. So keep that in mind. But the door closes pretty easily on the drive itself. And then when it comes to speeds, it is just like right up to spec here. It's rated for 2000 megabytes a second read and write. And we saw just about that in all of our testing here. Pretty easy, like I said. And again, this is going to be backwards compatible with USB 3.2 Gen 2, USB 2, all of that. So you won't have to worry. Of course, your speeds are going to vary based on that. But good overall drive as far as testing goes. Didn't get too hot. No real issues with anything when it comes to testing. The only thing I would say this drive is missing is some type of backup solution. So if you get a drive from, say, another brand, you know, sometimes it will come with like a backup solution. So no software, no backup solution with this. So it's something to keep in mind if you need that. But if you're just looking for a fast portable SSD, this one's perfect. And I love how small this is. Like, this is going to be going with me on my big trip because it's nice and small. And you can get this up to 4 terabytes. But they're very, very expensive right now because we are in a like a storage shortage. So
yes,
the price on the 2 terabyte version is $550, which is kind of insane. And that's on Amazon. A-Data actually has it in their web shop for $349.99 for the 2 terabyte version, which is also very expensive. So when it comes to portable drives, if you can find them at an MSRP, they're worth picking up. But with prices how they are, it's going to be kind of hard to find. I wasn't able to find this drive at its like what it should be priced at, which should be for like a 2 terabyte, probably around like 170 to like 200 bucks.
Yeah, that's sad.
So keep that in mind. But again, a really good drive. And I just like a drive that I can throw around. You know, it's nice and small, doesn't take up space. And again, that type C connection is protected with this little door. A lot of other drives, it's just like, you just have the connection there, right? So dust can get in there, things can happen. With this drive, you don't have that. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. I like to drive. And if you're looking for fast portable storage, this is definitely one that I would recommend for sure. So just pricing sucks right now. I think if we re-review anything with storage or memory, it's just like
there's an asterisk by them all.
Right? Yeah, that's just kind of, you know, what's going on right now. But no big deal. Like I said, if you can find it at a good price, definitely go ahead and pick it up. And then we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have a Fallout themed build in the Height X50. So this is from, who is this from? This is from Phenom Design. And I really like this. I like some of the Fallout themed builds I'm not a fan of, but I actually do like this one. The X50 is pretty interesting as far as like modding and making it a little bit different, but you can see the kind of design that they've gone with. And they used, what's this cooler, Ryan? The one that the height cooler, the thick Q60.
They put a frame around it. Okay. Yeah, I don't recognize it, but yes.
Yeah, so they put a frame around it and made it like rusted, just like with other parts of the case. I think it fits the especially the paint on the outside, making it look worn and rusted. You know, again, that Fallout theme with the 33 for Vault 33. I think that's really cool. And again, you can see the AIO, they put the frame on it and matches kind of up here as well. I definitely like it.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's a cool build overall.
The shape of this case really fits with that Vault Tech Fallout, just like aesthetic, right? It is a great case for a Fallout themed build for sure.
Yeah, have you watched the show?
I watched like the first couple episodes and never like kept going. I know it's great. I've heard great things about it, and you've watched it, right?
Yeah, I finished it not that long ago, the second season. Okay. It's very good. Yeah. And I was never like into Fallout like a lot.
Well, no, I played like one of the like mini game Fallout Vault, which is like Fallout Shelter. It's like it's not even like a first person or anything. It's just like a dumb time wasting game. So that's really all my experience with the Fallout environment.
Yeah, but I
enjoyed the show.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of like end of the world scenario type shows. So I really liked it, but it's cool to like, again, like if you're a video game fan in general, it's really cool to see a show based on a video game. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like they did do it really well. But yeah, awesome build. Shout out to Phenom Design. One of the better height X50 builds that I've seen. It's just like, as far as aesthetic goes, like I love this like aesthetic. It just looks awesome. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And if you are looking for more case mods, you just want to browse case mods. If you go to the site and go to articles, Case Mod Friday, I always say this, but like you can essentially scroll forever because we've been featuring builds for, I mean, how long do you think we've been featuring builds?
Looked before. I mean, it's like, long time.
Yeah, a very, very long time. I mean, I'm scrolling still and we're in
20. I mean, I've been writing for the site since late 2017, and you've been doing it since then at least. So
yeah, for a very long time. So you can browse builds for like ever on the site if that's something that you you want to do. And there's so many great ones that we featured. So definitely check that out if you're into case mods. Also, we talked about the RAM shortage, storage shortage. We're giving away a DDR5 RAM kit from ADATA.
That's like gold.
Yeah. So they gave us a 32 gig kit of their XPG Lancer Blade. This is non-RGB memory, but it's still DDR5 memory, 5600 megahertz, which means it's going to be really good for either Intel or AMD. Super easy to enter this one. It looks like we have 8,000 entries currently. 25 days left. So this one's going to end at the end of this month. So lots of time to get your entries in, but we do have special codes if you're a newsletter subscriber and if you saw our post on social media about it. So go check those out for special codes that you can enter once you subscribe to the email newsletter. And as I talked about on previous podcast episodes, make sure you're subscribed to the newsletter. That is a requirement. And you stay subscribed. If you're not, I choose a winner. And then I double check your email with our email subscriber list. So if you're not there anymore, we pick somebody else. And last time I had to pick like seven different winners because nobody was subscribed. So you have to say subscribe. We got to, you know, that's the thing you have to do. But
and
we
you get to respond to the message. Like that was the other problem is people.
Yeah, respond. Nobody responded to the email as well. So I email the email that you provide. So. White flag or yeah, what is it?
Whitelist
thinkcomputers.org, the domain. So my email comes through to you, so you get it. But in any case, we're hooking you guys up. And again, we have more contests coming as well. So definitely stay tuned for those. But we wanted to give you guys, that's like the best thing to get right now is DDR5. Because if you think about it, it's like one of the most expensive things right now for a PC build other than your graphics cards. So we want to hook you guys up. Now we'll move on to news. We talked about DLSS 5 the last 2 weeks and everything like that. If you forgot, DLSS 4.5 was announced a while back, and now it's available, so you can play with it. And the big thing with DLSS 4.5 is you get dynamic multi-frame and 6x mode. So that's 6x frame generation. So whenever you render a frame, it's going to generate up to 6 frames. So you can exponentially increase your you can exponentially increase your frame rate. So if you're going for super high frame rate, DLSS obviously is going to help you with that. I like the dynamic feature. So if you guys don't know about the dynamic feature, essentially you can set it to dynamic, and then you can set a target FPS, and you can set the multiplier, like what it's going to do. And just like with anything, it will adjust how much it's generating those frames based on the performance of your graphics card. So that's kind of cool. So if you know, you didn't want to do 6X all the time, or you just wanted to, you kind of want to like let your system kind of figure out what's the best multiplier to do as you're going through. I definitely like that. Have you messed with DLSS in any of these frame generation or anything?
Nothing. I think the last time I utilized DLSS was like when I was still running my 2070 Super, and I think I had like DLSS 2 running on there, or maybe one. I don't remember now. And I was trying it out with Fortnite, and I had used it there. But past that, no. Like, I mean, the 5080 and the games I play, just it's fine.
You playing at what, 1440?
Yeah, 1440, 144 hertz. So.
Yeah. So like, yeah, same like. You can set your target FPS and then again your multiplier.
Well, yeah, this gets you, you know, longevity out of your hardware, right? Get you further along, some additional frames or lifespan out of hardware you might have.
Yeah, and the thing you do have to know is that multi-frame generation and the dynamic feature is only available in RTX 50 series. I don't know if they're going to change that for 40 series as time goes on. With like, if you had like a 4080, a 40, you know, 4070, you can still do frame generation. You're just not going to get multi-frame generation. So it's going to generate a frame, or it's going to render a frame and then generate one extra frame. But multi-frame generation is only on RTX 50 series. So just definitely keep that in mind. But in any case, I like it. I feel like, again, if you got like a high refresh monitor, or you were playing something like, you know, like a Counter-Strike or something where you wanted that super high frame rate, this is an easy way to do it. If you don't have something like a 5090, a 5080, like, you know, if you're rocking something like a 5060, you know what I mean? Like you can dramatically increase your frame rates by using DLSS 4.5, and 5's coming. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out still. That's going to be, again, really, really interesting to see kind of what happens there. Talking about NVIDIA and their graphics cards, we kind of got our first little leak of RTX 60. Are you ready for RTX 60 series?
No.
I think it's a horrible time for it to.
Yeah. Like usually we're like bracing for like, oh, what's the price increase going to be? What's this and that? And like, so just outside of normal price increase, it's like, what's the price increase going to be because of these memory shortages? That's what I'm most worried about right now.
Yeah. So RTX 60 series, and this is not any indication that it's coming anytime soon, but I think before the end of the year, we would see something. So this is powered by NVIDIA's Rubin architecture, which you have seen in their AI accelerators and things like that. And here's kind of what this leak says. And again, this is all rumor. This is not, you know, 100%. But TSMC 3-nanometer process, clock targets are in the high 2 gigahertz to very low 3 gigahertz. So you're going to see a bump in speed over RTX 50 series. Path tracing, which I've never used, but path tracing is supposed to do at least 2x over what the RTX 50 series does. And then raster performance, so like that's pure what do you call it? Non-software performance, as some people call it. Just pure raw performance is going to be around 30 to 35% better than the RTX 50 series. They're going to feature. That's
a big jump.
It is a nice big jump, yeah. And I think they have a little bit more time with this too, just because of the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Sixth gen Tensor cores, fifth gen RT cores. RTX 6090 is going to have 192 streaming multiprocessors, full config. Yeah, 512-bit bus with 32 gigabytes of RAM. 6080, 20 gigs of RAM. 6070, 16 gigs of RAM. How do you feel about the RAM for these? Do you think that's a good spot? 32.
I think it's good. That's the best we can ask for right now with current pricing. If we didn't have that, I think maybe 24 on the 6080 would be more appropriate.
Yeah,
32 and, for the 90s is fine, I think.
And we do have a question of the week, which we'll get to. But like, do you think there's only going to be three SKUs?
Total? I don't know. I feel like you got to still have a 60 series, like a 6060.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you're going to price such a large group out.
That's very true. Very true. So that's kind of what we have as far as RTX 60 series in the rumors. So we don't know yet. But I'm excited. I mean, I always get like Ryan and I feel like we always get excited for like the top end card, even though we're not going to buy the top end card, which is awesome to see the performance. And with the top end card, all of the AIBs make like this crazy custom, not custom, but like, you know, you have like your Astral and you have your, you know, and
Lightning.
And you have those different high end SKUs, which I'm definitely a fan of. So yeah, really, really excited to see this stuff and just see the performance. I'm like I said, it's just gonna, you know. And like I said, maybe it lowers price of the 50 series for people who have also just been waiting right now and the pricing and everything like that. So we'll have to see. We have both Krampus and Cam. I know Cam and Krampus is my other buddy. So good to see you guys in the live chat. And good to see you. That like Ryan says, we don't want to make you feel unalive.
Well, he said it makes him feel alive. I'm like, well, at least that's better than unalive, right?
Yeah, exactly. So on to processor news. The Intel Core Ultra Plus series launched with two SKUs mainly. And there was no high-end SKU. There was no Core Ultra 290K Plus. It looks like there won't be a Core Ultra 290K Plus. Do you think that Intel just thinks it's not worth it? They just like what AMD did with GPUs. They want to focus on a certain segment, and that's it.
I don't know. I mean, to me, this doesn't feel like. Why wouldn't they think it's worth it? I don't think you can. Maybe with like how many you would sell, but I don't think like you can relate it to the memory shortage at all, because those people. If they don't buy that SKU and they buy a lower one, they still got to have memory. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, well, what I mean is, do you think that they see maybe the sales of that level of SKU and they're like, AMD's crushing us right now with, like, a 9800X3D, you know?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense. Even though there were leaked benchmarks of this processor and it looked like it performed well. But
yeah, I mean, if just you know kinda, you're going to lose or just not sell what it like the trade-off just is probably isn't there. And so you could do it just to like so that you have something so it doesn't look like you're backing off. But maybe it makes more fiscal sense to like just back off and not do it.
That's it's kind of weird to not see, you know, you have an Intel refresh mm-hmm. and you don't see that high end SKU. It's kind of odd. You know, and like Intel, did they ever release their other high-end SKU for the previous gen? Like there was supposed to be an extreme version, and I don't think they came out with that either. They like teased it, and then they never came out with it. I don't remember. But yeah, it's kind of weird. It's and again, as the we'll talk about it at the end. I think we'll talk about it at the end, because we'll go to the question of the week at the end.
Kind of related.
Yeah, it's very much related to this, so we'll talk about that. But pretty interesting to see them not release something at that at that level for Intel. But AMD, they unveiled their Ryzen 9 9950X3D2 Dual Edition with 192 megabytes of L3 cache.
That name's getting too long.
Yeah. So it's their first consumer CPU that has 3DV cache on both of the chiplets. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, like I said, I think that, again, AMD is just putting stuff out there. You know what I mean?
Well, it's coming out at the end of the month. So, like, I mean, this thing's ready to go. Yeah, there's people for it. I don't know that there's, like, a huge increase, like, right there in their graph. You know, you're getting some double-digit increases, like, with some AI workloads.
Yeah.
But if you just need or want that top performance that the standard 9950X3D didn't get you,
I think a lot of people are doing like the AI stuff now.
Like local, yeah.
Yeah, and this just gives you that little bit of boost, and it's like, okay, I'm building an AI machine. I'm going to put this in there instead of like something else. So yeah, I just think like AMD is just putting out stuff, and it's like, just like with Intel, it's like you could still put it out. You might not sell a ton of units, but it's like that shows the community that you're like, you still want to support them, right? You still want to support the community. If somebody's an Intel person and they're looking to like upgrade, or they're building a new system and they're like, well, you don't have a top end SKU now, so I'm just going to go the other way. I'm going to go to the AMD.
Okay, this might be a dumb question, but looking at the packaging for it, like, and the graphs there show kind of a silver and a gold. The packaging, I think, is going to be that gold color for, but wouldn't it be cool if that heat spreader was just kind of like a bronzish gold color?
Yeah, I think that's just the...
I think it's just the light hitting it making it kind of look like that, but I think that would be cool.
That would be really, really cool. But yeah, like I said, shout out to AMD for this one. Just another one, like, again, just giving you another option. If you need that much, you know, cash, you got it. And yeah, definitely for creators, it's going to be an awesome, awesome processor. So that is our processor news. Moving on to RAM prices. So RAM prices, you know, have been going up, going up, going up. It looks like, I mean, at least based on this graph, they went down. Like, you know, here's November, boom, straight up. And then going over, you know, it went up even more, down and up, but then it went down significantly. And this is on a Corsair Vengeance DDR5 32 gigabyte kit running at 6,000 megahertz CL36. And this is Amazon price history. And it went from the high point of $439.99 down to $369.99. And for like a little while too, like it's not like it's, you know, went right, down, and then, you know, mm-hmm. Do you think go ahead.
It's not close enough to the what it should be, though. Like,
yes,
it's nice, but it's nowhere near what it should be.
Yes. And I think a lot of this also has to do with something. Some AI thing was announced, or like Google announced something that's going to use less memory.
Yep.
So that was a big hit to like RAM prices a little bit. I think it would just be nice to see some leveling off, right? Not jumping around as much, more like kind of level. But to see it drop, because it did level off a little bit right here, right? And then went back up and down, and now we're down and we're kind of leveling. I would like to, I mean, you obviously want to see it go down, but I like I said, I mean,
that's a $70 drop for that kit.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. So I'm definitely, like I said, I keep on going down, but don't go back up. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see obviously what happens. And I think that's a big thing too, is like these AI companies are finding ways to be more efficient with the coding. And so it uses less memory. So then again, they don't need to build as big of a data, you know, they don't need as much RAM, and they don't need clients don't need, you know, client machines don't need as much RAM if they're running the LLM locally and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So yeah, but like I said, pretty cool. Yeah, like Ryan said, it needs to be like down here again, like 150 for the kit.
And like this hurt some, like Micron is the stock that I saw that really took a hit from some of that news. Like you're talking about that Google news, like in the last month, they're down 11 1/3%. Their stock is, but in the last year, they're up 302%. So like you can just see this growth with like AI essentially is what I'm going to relate it to. Right. I can't think of any other reason why their stock would go up so much, but
yeah,
it's a dent going back down. Hopefully it can continue back down.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And just to make things more efficient on like the,
sure,
the AI side. So it's not taking all of our PC gamer resources away from us essentially. So yeah, now this was kind of out of the blue. Like I don't follow like Apple stuff. You know, we cover when they announce like a new chip or a new laptop or something cool. But for like the longest time, the Mac Pro was like the most expensive desktop computer based on like per component. It was just like way too expensive for whatever for what you're
getting. Doesn't add up.
And like this is the cheese grater design. Do you remember
the wheels? You could get for it too.
Yeah. But there was like the Mac Pro.
Like the trash can. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see images. Yeah. Everybody remembers like the trash can. This is on eBay. It's $500. You can buy it. But yeah, everybody remembers the trash can and like beautiful. Like I always thought these were super cool. And the fact that like on this trash can, they put two AMD graphics cards in here.
Yeah.
I
think they showed on the third image or fourth image.
Yeah. Like two.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. It's actually really cool. Really great design, but these things were like insanely expensive. I think this one, like the top end spec was like 30 some grand. And then the Mac Studio display or whatever it was like another $5,000 or $6,000 on top of that.
And now they're releasing, you know, $600 Mac minis and, laptops, you know, like such a spectrum of pricing from Apple.
Yeah, so
they're taking it away, huh?
Yeah, they're just continuing Mac Pro, Mac Studio. How much is a Mac Studio? Mac Studio. So
this guy is clicking the sponsored links.
Oh, it's the Apple website. All right. So it starts from $2,000 for this guy. Mm-hmm. Let's build one, Ryan. Oh, wait, I'm still scrolling. It's okay. Let's buy. Okay, so we're doing M4 Max.
Boom. Of course.
We want the
16, the biggest you can get.
Yeah, we're doing that. Memory. $1,000. We're doing 128 gigs of memory.
That actually doesn't seem bad, though. I mean, it's high, but like.
Oh, you could do 256. See pricing changes? Oh, that's, I don't know. Okay, we'll just do 128. Storage. We need at least 8 terabytes.
We got a 16 terabyte. Yeah.
Okay. But you like it won't give me the right. No thanks.
No, we don't want photo cut.
Okay.
$6,000.
Only $6,000. So that's like a lot better.
Yeah.
But yeah, this thing's not big.
No, you know not what I mean? At all.
Like so to go to have this crazy Mac, this is like a tower, essentially, to this as their top end PC is kind of interesting, you know, but I mean, M4 Max chip is good, you know, and you're getting a lot with it. It's just kind of interesting that they're discontinuing the Mac Pro. Do you ever use a Mac Pro at any of its iterations or anything?
I feel like we had some when I worked at the university. In the Mac lab, I feel like. I feel like some of those were Mac Pros.
Yeah, I used a couple over the years. Not like, again, like in that type of setting. You'd see them at like the Apple store too. You know, when I would like go buy a new iPhone, you'd see they'd have one and you could play with it. I always thought, again, for the specs, it was way overpriced.
Oh yeah.
I thought the trash can was like a really nice design. I was never a fan of the cheese grater. Design.
It's okay. Like it looks too much like a cheese grater.
Yeah, and I think the big change is that Apple started making their own Apple started making their own chips, so they weren't reliant on other big chips, and like maybe they also see their user and their software is incredibly efficient. That's why like the new MacBook Neo that's $500 or $600 will be fine with like 8 gigs of RAM. It can do a lot because the software is incredibly efficient. So maybe there is no need for like, you know, these used to have like dual Xeons and like all that kind of stuff in it.
I mean, yeah, maybe you just don't.
Or do you think something bigger and better?
I was going to say, like, is there something else coming down the pipe and they're just canceling or discontinuing the current version, right?
Or it's called like, what would Apple call it? What would, instead of Mac Pro, what would it be called? Like Mac AI.
I was going to say, it's got to have something with the AI probably.
Yeah. It's like the Mac AI. Build your LLMs on this.
Yep.
I can see that actually. And it looks like the cheese grater, but it's put on its side like a rack. You have multiple racks that you can just put in your, you know, multiple blades, like these big blades that you can put in.
Yeah.
I could see them doing that actually with everything. George in the chat said Mac AI Max Pro. Yeah, the Max Pro, like there's a regular version and then there's like a Max Pro version, which is the rack, and you have to buy at least two blades to get that version. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nothing surprised me. Yeah.
You would think that they would want to service that, right? Like, I don't know anything about these AI things, like these LLMs that you're running locally. But like, do they run on Mac?
Yeah. A lot of them can. Absolutely.
Yeah. So interesting.
We'll actually going to slot in a bunch of iPhones and they like connect via the USB 4 connector. And like, that's how you scale up. You just throw more in.
This video the other day about how the US government used PlayStation 3s as a supercomputer.
Yeah. When they first came out.
I saw that video. I think it was on Instagram. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So maybe, same thing. You just get a bunch of iPhones and you ever see those like bot farms that are all the phones? That's kind of crazy too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So RIP to the Mac Pro. We'll see if something, I'll be interested to see if something different comes, right?
Replaces it. Yeah.
Yeah. Saw this at Computex and it looks like it will be launching in Q2. And I would assume Ryan will be taking a look at it when it comes out. Noctua and Asetek, they're launching an AIO. And it reached their production milestone. So Q2 2026 launch is coming. There are some pictures of it. So it passed its production validation test, the PVT phase. So it's ready for mass production. I got to take a look at this. They really focused on efficiency and they focused on noise level, a lot. And this has been in development for a while. So, you know, Noctua, of course, is like the king of air coolers. Yep. Now they're going to get into AIOs.
I'm excited to hopefully get a review sample of this in and take a look at it.
Yeah, they've done a lot of work on this. So we'll have to get one for Ryan and we'll take a look at this and see what it's all about. But yeah, I'm pretty excited. Like I said, I got to see it. They didn't have obviously working version. They just had it sitting there and then you could take the lid of the AIO off and take a look at the pump and stuff. But yeah, Cam says Noctua sounds like Hawktua. Yeah. Everybody says that when I do a video on a Noctua product.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe is it the way I say it? I feel like that's how everybody says it, Noctua, right?
Noctua.
Yeah, everybody says that, though. Like, it's so, especially when that was really popular, like that girl, you know?
I'm aware.
Yeah, everybody would say it. Now, hopefully this isn't an April Fool's thing. I don't really think it is. But Razer came out with an ergonomic keyboard. Is this an April Fool's joke? I don't think it is.
I don't think so. This news wasn't from today, was it?
Let me see if we go to the. I don't believe so. Yeah, you can buy it. Hold on. Let's go to
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Like that they would have a product like this.
Yeah, there's already reviews of it, I think. I just thought of this. I was like, well, maybe Razer didn't, but this kind of makes sense. Split keyboard. I'm actually using a split keyboard from Asus, their ROG Falcata. And if you are a split keyboard fan or an Ergo keyboard fan, you know, and you want something more gaming centric, or, you know, if you're a Razer fan, they have, like I said, this is called the Prototype Ergo. It's ergonomic and it's
so I don't know, maybe this is April Fool's, because they on their I went to their social media and like, well, yeah, yesterday is when they released it. The time says one day ago, so like we may still be getting bamboozled here, because a lot of commenters are like, oh, it's April, you know what I mean. I'm trying to find.
I mean, I can buy it right now.
Yeah, maybe it's real. I tend to think it's real, but
yeah, because like if I can go to the website and I can check out, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean they at some point they got to stop you, right?
Yeah, from buying it. So
yeah.
So yeah, I think this is real. I just thought about that because I was like, oh yeah, it is April Fool's. But yeah, I mean. Like I said, I think that when it comes to a Razer or even like an Asus or any of the big keyboard companies that are strictly gaming focused, having an Ergo keyboard definitely makes sense, because again, there's people that are fans of like a Razer or they want certain functionality. And again, this thing actually looks quite nice with like, I don't know if this is like a leatherette wrist rest there, but have you ever used a keyboard that like goes up in the middle, like an Ergo keyboard that has the like hump in it?
Yeah, we had one growing up, like on not that first computer we were talking about earlier, but like the second one, we had a it was a Microsoft, I think, split keyboard design.
Yeah,
I don't know why we had it, because like it's not like my parents, like I don't know, it was fine. I wasn't like a huge fan of it, but
yeah, well. Like I said, I think have the option available for people who want something like this. Mm-hmm. It does look like low profile keys, which again, for like office work and stuff like that is going to be good. As they show here, I feel like this is an AI image. Like this guy doesn't even look real. I feel like we're going to see more of that. Like companies using.
Yeah. Like, you're like, hang on.
Just like the reflections on his face. I don't know. But anyways, it's $200. Razer Hyperspeed Wireless 2.4 gigahertz. I'm not into, like, I like this one because I can put it together and then I can split it when I'm gaming, like the one I have. But I wouldn't, not a fan here. But in any case, it is available. So if you want to check it out, we do have a link to the product page where hopefully you can buy it if it's not April Fool's.
Yeah,
and then this next one, it's not, but this could, you could say that this could be April Fool's, but it's not. Asus put out a USB AI accelerator. So yep. If you want to run specific LLMs and you're working on, say, a laptop or something that's underpowered, this actually has the Helio 10H AI processor in it.
Is this kind of like an ASIC, like when we had like just dedicated Bitcoin miners?
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like that.
Very similar.
Yeah. So there's a video on it if you want to check it out. And it's this little device here, and then the chips in there.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, up to 40 tops at 2.5 watts. And you can, I think there's a picture of the chip somewhere. Maybe not. But yeah, like I said, it's the world's first USB one. So again, if you did need to do any LLM stuff on, again, like a lot, like an underpowered laptop or even like an edge machine or something, this can do it and you can just plug it in.
That's cool.
Do you think we're going to see more like stuff like this from brands that we know?
I don't. This seems kind of odd. Like, like power wise, like you're getting all, everything through that USB, so you're kind of limited on how much like actual electricity power, right, you can provide to it from a laptop. But I could see, like we've seen with external GPUs, right?
Yeah,
like some sort of device that's like that that you plug in to get that extra horsepower. I could definitely see something like that coming. Yeah,
yeah, it comes with 100 plus pre-trained models. Via the online model zoo. So yeah, I think if you maybe too, if you wanted to mess around with AI and like you don't have a powerful machine, this could be something that you could like play with before you maybe invest in like a multiple GPU machine or something like that, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty interesting. Has 8 gigabytes of DDR4 on there as well. So yeah, pretty cool little thing. It will be interesting to see over the next few years if like we do see more stuff like this, right?
Yep.
Like dedicated like add-ons to your current PC to do AI. I know like again a lot of the mobile chipsets are coming with like an NPU now to do a lot of that. So we'll see what happens with that. But that is our news for the week. Moving on to what we have coming up next week: two CPU coolers. I'll be taking a look at an air cooler by MSI. This is their MagCore Frozer AA13. It is designed as an entry-level CPU cooler. It's like $23. So we're going to see if it's any good. Has, of course, some lighting on there as well, but we'll see if this thing is worth picking up. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then Ryan is taking a look at the ASRock Steel Legend 360 LCD. And this is another new AIO from ASRock in their Steel Legend line. This is what it looks like. So Ryan's going to have that for us next week. It only comes in white, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah. 3.4-inch LCD.
Which makes sense, being in the Steel Legend.
Yeah, most Steel Legend motherboards and graphics cards are this white, as you can see what they use right there. So yeah, definitely stay tuned for that as well. And Ryan, of course, will have that review for us. And the question of the week is... We were talking about how, on the RTX 60 side, how many SKUs there's going to be, like how many, different SKUs NVIDIA is going to put out. On the CPU side, with Intel canceling the 290K plus, with essentially like the PC market sort of in like limbo with the RAM shortage and everything, do you think we'll see a more streamlined approach by brands as far as like, they're not going to come out with a bunch of CPUs. There's going to be like just a couple.
I don't know. I think that variety, if you make it too small, right? Like when we were talking about the 60 series, like you're asking if we would just get a 90, an 80, and a 70. And I think shrinking it up too much cuts out some of your like customer base, right? If you don't give a 60-60, you've cut out this huge chunk of customers that can only afford a certain amount or only want to pay a certain amount. So I don't know that it costs them really that much more to keep a diverse field of products necessarily.
Like, I mean, this is across all things, not just graphics cards or like even motherboard manufacturers, right? Like maybe they only come out with a couple. And we actually saw this last generation of the RTX 50 series. When it came to like the higher end SKUs, like the 5090, like brands put out like two. They didn't do their whole line. As you got down, you could get like certain ones, but again, it was kind of few and far between when it came to like a higher end SKU and getting a different version of the card than the normal one.
Maybe I should rephrase it. Maybe we won't see like, maybe we'll see a whole range like from a 6060 to a 6090, but maybe you like skip some of those middle levels that were there previously. So you still have the width of price variance, right? From top to bottom.
Yeah.
But maybe you just don't have as many nuanced levels, which kind of, we bag on that every now and then, where there's too many things and too many decisions for a customer to make. And confusion. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting rest of the year.
That could be too. Did you see George says fewer SKUs but subscriptions to unlock features, right? So don't give them ideas. Off the screen.
Yeah, don't give them ideas. I think that's the thing. I remember it was like a while back, BMW like came out with a car, and then to like use the heated seats, it was like an upgrade. But like it was there.
It was already there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like to use the heated seats, it was like a, like, I forget how they did it, but yeah, I hope that's not the case when it comes to other things as well. And
Intel do that too on some CPUs where you could like unlock additional.
I don't remember.
This was years and years ago, but
yeah, I don't remember. But in any case, we'll see what happens over this next year. It's going to be an interesting new year for PC hardware as we go through here. Anything else tech related you want to talk about?
I don't think so. Yeah, I've just got that cooler. Well, I got two coolers in right now to review, so I'll have the Azeroc and then another MSI. No, I don't think so.
I got some stuff to talk about. I was pretty upset the other day.
Why?
So for X or Twitter.
Oh yeah, I forgot to talk to you about this. Yeah.
So for X or Twitter, like when Elon took over TweetDeck, which is a way to view Twitter in, like, if you're doing what we do as far as like following brands and checking for news and doing everything, it was a great way to view Twitter or X, right?
Yep.
And then when Elon took over, there was like the $8 a month to get the blue check, but that included TweetDeck or what they called X Pro, right?
Yep.
So you pay. It went from being free, like a free thing,
yep,
to being $8 a month, which is fine, right? So the other day, I go to, like, it's like pro.x.com, and I have it all. I always have it on like this side of my 49-inch monitor because I always have it up to like see what's going on and reply to people and everything like that. And it's like, upgrade your subscription. And I'm like, what?
Like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, like I'm sure I can bring it up right now. Yeah, it's like, as of March 2026, Pro is only accessible the X Premium Plus plan, which is $40 a month.
Oh my gosh.
$40. So I'm like, I'm not paying $40 to use something that used to be free. Like $8 is fine. Plus the $8 gave you like the check mark. Like, you know, like no big deal, right? $40. And there was like no prior warning to it. There was
it
no.
It just like rolled it.
Yeah, they just like said it. So I was like, this sucks. I need to figure this out. And I figured out a way to essentially do the same thing that I was doing with another browser. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Arc Browser, ARC, Arc Browser. So they have this. Here, let me share it. Let's see here. How do I do this? Remove this. And then. Here we go. Arc Browser. So now this is what. This is essentially like what TweetDeck was.
Yep.
So you can have this split tab over here. So now I have like my main X feed, and then I have lists of like tech companies, like other creators, notifications. But initially they wouldn't auto refresh. That's what like TweetDeck did too, is like it auto refreshed the feeds. Yep. So you see now how it's like auto refreshing. So I got this plugin because Arc is based off, it's a Chromium based browser. It's called Auto Refresh Plus, which is free. You just set your time interval, which I have for 5 minutes. And then you set your URLs, which you want to auto refresh, and it just does it.
That's cool.
And it saves me from paying $40 a month. So I feel pretty happy about myself that I figured it out. Well,
yeah,
the help of Reddit, I figured it out.
I'm sure a lot of people were pissed about this.
Yeah. So, a lot of people were, because I was like searching on X. I was like, what's going on? You know, because like you, as like somebody who does what I do, like I wake up every morning, turn on the computer, open X, I open Threads, I open Facebook Business, because that's where we post our stuff to our Facebook page. Like all those get opened. So when you open something that you use every day, and then it's like, you need to pay me $4 a month. And the thing that really sucks, and I would be really pissed off, is like people paid that the $8 a month, they paid it in like a yearly subscription.
Oh, so just so locked.
They got locked out completely. Mm-hmm. And they already paid, they technically already paid for it for the rest of the year. Wouldn't that be like a class action or something? Can you do that?
I'm sure they looked into how they could get away with it.
Yeah. Like, but anyways, so that sucked. And then also I heard today that you can't now on X, you can't right click and get like the URL to the video, like videos anymore.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. They're like just making it completely bare. I don't know what they're doing. So Elon, get your shit together. That's all I have to say. But yeah, that's the only tech thing. Working on a ton of reviews. We have a lot of cool stuff coming, so definitely stay tuned for that. Typically, yeah, it says Musk doesn't have a history of caring about business law. Yeah, yeah. So that definitely not a fan of that. As somebody like again who, like I said, was a daily user of X Pro or TweetDeck or whatever you want to call it, definitely not a fan. But anyways, we typically play games on Wednesday, but we are going to take the night off and not play games. So thanks, everybody, for coming out. Everybody who is in the chat. Of course, we have Krampus, Cam, George. No old man tonight. No old man in the chat. So, but appreciate all you guys coming out. And, of course, everybody that listens later. And we will see everybody next week.